there, I'm Subha, a career growth coach, and this is season 5 of Small Talk with Raincraft with...
I'm Hasita. I'm a marketing consultant at Motley Crue, and I'm so excited. Are we at season 5 already?
Can you believe it? Please do look us up and catch earlier episodes too. But let's get on with this one. Value of the so-called failures that we go through, and you know the old cliche, like failure is an event, not a person, well taken. And when you fail, you feel like you failed and not that the thing you tried failed. But now I realize when I look back and I observe some of my own conversations as a coach, or when I'm a shoulder that someone's crying on, and the stories that I'm telling, they are all of events that didn't go as planned. I mean, I can call it a failure, but the meat is really in those events,
right?
The client interaction that didn't go well, maybe the app you tried to make that didn't ever take off, or even a business line that you started, or even a work trip that went really badly, a conference speech that you mucked up. The stories are there.
Because that's where you... And then it builds.
And then it builds. Like the one where you went to a client office and they agreed to the proposal and you came back and had lunch, there's no story there. Or how much do you embellish and tell that story? Because it's usually not conveying a useful point.
Fail so you may have stories to tell.
Exactly. Because then it's also up to you how much kind of masala you want to add to that. Depending on the audience, how deep you want to take it, like how badly did you sink and then kind of rose like a phoenix. And you know, all of that is on you and you can play around with it.
Brings up its own, you know, I think sometimes when you let go of a project, which was dear to you at some point and which gave its own highs, there is that, it's an emotional thing finally, right? It feels like, okay, am I letting it go too soon? Will this, you know, cause me to be perceived as a failure? And I think for me, today the question is, how do you even begin to soften that blow a little bit?
Yeah, because, you know, that's this word failure, I just, this is too strong a word, you know? And I don't know its origins and all that, but I'm sure somewhere it's linked to the word fear. I feel like it should be.
Because they rhyme a little bit.
I just feel like it should be because so many conversations, whether I'm wearing my coaching hat or a friend hat or even a parent hat, when you really try and distill somebody's sense of worry or anxiousness, there is a fear of something, and that fear is usually fear of failure. That's and it's also said to be the most common or the largest fear that we face. Because we and failure is what? I didn't perform to my own expectations. I didn't perform to your expectations, the world's expectations. I didn't, like, if I didn't get the promotion, it's a failure.
And it's a very public failure somehow. I was, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about Tim Urban's blog, Wait But Why, in which he has these beautiful illustrations around why is it that fear of social rejection is such a powerful thing, because we are social beings. It's wired in our DNA to find acceptance. And I think failure on some level just reinforces the fact that we weren't good enough to begin with.
I know. I think it plays into everyone's imposter syndrome
so
really
much,
well.
So much. Right? On like a very chimpanzee level, if I could put it that way.
No, and we both have young daughters. We see that on a daily basis, the need to fit in, conform, not be, not having friends is failure, right? Not fitting into
even
that.
Having difficult friendships is still failure because maybe I did something.
Yesterday, there were a few very small girls outside my balcony just yelling to a girl on a higher floor. They're like, hey, Maya, come down. We're waiting to play with you. If you don't come, we won't be your friend. I don't think that girl was at home to even hear it.
Okay.
But if she was, like, she's failed, no, in that friendship pact.
And it really starts then, no?
Yeah.
And finally, what are workplaces? They are social contexts which correct. Help us make money, but finally a social context.
No, I think we, because we throw this word for anything and everything, we don't use the alternate too much. Like you went and, you know, wrote your SAT, or you went and wrote your midterm, and either you pass or you fail. What about those hours of effort? Like they mean something, no?
Yeah. Like, reminds me of the time I went and slept in my MCET competitive exams. 2 years of preparing only to fall asleep.
And to the world and maybe even to yourself, the word that comes to mind is, hey, I failed that test.
Yeah.
I failed that attempt.
Yeah.
And even something, and that is a, like 2 years of prep, but finally it's a 3 hours of testing your metal. And then even when you've been in a friendship or a marriage or a relationship, and 15 years later, you're questioning it, you're wondering whether you're in the right space. And then you say, oh, that marriage failed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 15 years in the making, right? Like, how did
so
it just fail?
And so much finality to just that statement. Oh, it failed.
Correct.
Like the end of that whole story in some ways. See, failure in different contexts hits differently.
Failure itself can be thought of in three ways. So the lowest is the basic kind of failure is something that's preventable, right? Like you were boiling milk and you didn't turn off the stove at the right time. So that's preventable. That's a simple failure. Next is a complex one where there is some uncertainty involved. Something was unavoidable. You didn't realize that, you know, like, I don't know, water pipe would burst and flood the office, etc. Something a little more complex. And the third one, which I guess ultimately when we say we are a team that fails fast, a team that's innovative, etc., is an intelligent failure.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are trying something, you're planning for something, you've thought it through a little bit, and then it could go either way, and that's the one where you want to maximize on. Those are the ones that you want to have more of, knowing full well that, like I keep saying it, I used to run an ops shop. I'm not expecting that there will be a day where every transaction goes
smoothly. Yeah, plan. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There are going to be bad days and bad moments. But the intelligent failures are, let's say, for example, we used to do that a lot. Like we used to make process tweaks. We used to say, hey, something as simple as even like, you know, in banking, like how your counter is designed. Maybe if we make them kind of submit here, scan here, sign here, this workflow works better. We try it out for 2 weeks. And then you realize you've created a bigger mess. And so you go back to
revert to the
But all those are the intelligent types which you want to allow for, which you want to let people say, hey, I have an idea. I have a kind of a hypothesis. Can we try it out?
Makes sense. It's not always the same. And maybe for some people, failure at work might mean different things as well, right? Like in terms of what emotional weight you carry off the back of that. But in a culture, or let's say there's a very small organization, a small team of people hoping to build something, working towards something, what's a way to soften that blow really?
I think words have a lot of power. No? I mean, we both know that, but...
I think it was Dumbledore who said it first, but yeah.
I think the language that we use in, whether it's in professional or personal context, if we're a little more mindful and call things what they are and use maybe alternative words. For example, sometimes it's just a mistake. You knew how to do it and you took a wrong step and it's a mistake. Sometimes it's an accident, right? Sometimes it's like, hey, I tried that. It didn't go as per plan. And use those words even when consoling someone about it, or even as a supervisor reviewing it, whatever that may be. Hey, I heard you tried something different. What happened? Right? And because when it goes well, you're suddenly that same person gets an award for being innovative.
And the funny thing is that person still doesn't understand why they are being awarded. You know what I mean? Like today, the dissonance between perceived success and perceived failure, and it's only growing, I think, with social media and our consistent need to show off. It's like in both cases, you don't know what you did right or what you did wrong.
Yeah. Like this lady who's so beautiful and so elegant and just a wow. Like she's in some small sari shop or rather dress material store in Delhi.
Yeah.
And she's been churning out videos for God knows how long, yeah, right? Trying yeah, to yeah. sell those salwar suits. And suddenly...
Ranveer Singh comes yeah, into the picture and makes her go viral.
Suddenly yeah. she's a success and it won't take long to, for some reason why she's now a failure.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she couldn't continue yeah. that...
trajectory, so yeah. to speak.
You know, one of our favorite books last year, I guess, was The Psychology of Money.
Yeah.
And then he also went on to do something that we have started making a little fun of, honestly. Start a podcast. So when you don't know what to do.
Start a podcast.
Start a podcast. And I haven't been listening to it because I just liked the book and I wanted to leave it at that. But I heard him on Tim Ferriss recently because he's got a new book. And he's now has to promote that, etc. And they were having a very genuine, honest conversation and someone who's got the audience like Tim Ferriss and his success started with his books, right? The 4-hour work week catapulted him into the limelight. And he was saying how like I've done this podcast now for so many years and I know I have an audience, but if I stop a year or two later, and if I'm lucky, it'll be a year or two later, I think many people won't even remember that I had a podcast or miss it.
Wow.
Because I'm there present right now when you kind of open the app, you listen, right? But my books will still keep bringing in
the money,
the royalties, right? Because it's kind of a more permanent reminder or something. And then Morgan's response was interesting. He said, I had a very successful book. I didn't know that I wrote it for myself in a way. And I didn't know that would happen. And I could have just stopped there and lived off that fame. But I started a podcast.
So that I can stay top of mind.
Yeah. And he said, I was so pleasantly surprised that people are actually listening to me. And the funny part is that he says, I realize it's a new audience because all I do is go there and... each episode, I read a blog post that I wrote many years ago. Because this audience has never read that blog post.
Even like the people that we really look up to, I think are finally stumbling into success and probably also very privately stumbling into a lot of failure, I think, which we don't see and acknowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And what we see also, like, I mean, somebody's trying to put a rocket in space and it doesn't take off and it fails to take off. But there's years of, you know, stuff behind
things going
it,
wrong,
right?
That has gone into and a lot of, I'm sure, existential level crisis. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you feel about Instagram motivation? And I'm specifically thinking in terms of, you know, how there's this quote that says fail fast and move on.
Yeah, I think that's actually our undoing because we've made it two extremes. You do something and then, you know, put in years of effort, you try and then at some point it may fail. And that's failure at one end, like, you know. And at the other end, we're telling people, like, keep failing, please keep failing fast.
And God damn it, you can't then also be delicate about it. Like, you know, be really strong.
So what is fail fast? Like, how do you fail fast? Like, do you intentionally do like, do you
Set out and say, okay, today I will fail once, or like this week I have a target? Like, yeah, it's quite confusing in some ways, or maybe it's just that it has been twisted to become confusing. Maybe the essence was something else.
I think the essence was that keep listening to the feedback. The frequency of your feedback loop should be really that much faster so that you can make decisions based on that. Like, you create a product or even you write some code, don't wait for that 6 months later when you have the user testing phase to know if it's working or not. But do that on a weekly basis or every 10 days and know what part is working. Whenever we talk about performance management, we say that the biggest problem is you tell the employee once in 6 months. Right? And that's why they take it badly or personally, or they've come in with that 6 months of expectation. Because we don't give feedback more often, right? So maybe that's the thing. Like, as an individual also, I can say my manager didn't give me feedback for 6 months, but also means, dude, you didn't ask for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't ask anybody.
Yeah. So what I'm really taking away is, one, the creation of those spaces where it's okay for someone to ask for feedback and then and for it to kind of go both ways. And the words, no?
Mm.
Really softens.
It really does. It makes sometimes by saying, okay, I won't use this word. What else can I call it?
Hmm.
Makes you think.
Really think in terms of what else.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the things that's also been taking a hit in the last few years.
Hmm.
I was listening to this one Dr. Amy Edmondson on, I think, Simon Sinek's podcast. She's a Harvard professor. And apparently he credited her with coining psychological safety. She said it was in literature even earlier, but what she did coin was team psychological safety.
Oh, okay.
Right? So where teams feel safe enough to bounce things off each other, give each other this, you know, frequent feedback that we're talking about. And that has really diminished in this virtual and hybrid world. Right? If it's true, right? If you're in an office space and you're thinking of doing something or trying something, you have the opportunity to look left or right and say, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody will give you, either for the sake of it or honest, or, but you'll get some feedback, right? Or even sometimes you have a slide deck open and a colleague walks by and you say, hey, what do you, how does it look? And by their facial and body language, you know whether you're kind of close to the mark or not.
But what a loss that is in some ways, to not be able to have that. Yeah.
Correct. So she talks about the need to create that culture, not just by saying that, you know, putting up on your website that I'm an innovative organization, but how do you back that up? How do you create these spaces? Like the 3M example, which is so oft quoted, that they, one is they do give people the time and space to try other things. But they also have apparently like a day in the year when all engineers, it's voluntary, you can come and talk about the things you tried that didn't work.
Okay.
And just sharing it, because someone else may say, hey, I have some use for that halfway thing you've created.
Yeah.
Or I can collaborate with you, or I can help you fix it. And there's so many ways to go from there. Even the medical profession has that, from our intense knowledge of Grey's Anatomy, where you go up on stage and talk about the case that didn't go right.
Yeah. And human beings are involved. So,
So, yeah, I think this, the virtual world really does take that away from us. But as individuals and as employees and as team members, founders, whatever role, I think what I've been taking away from a lot of this is that we're using failure because we have don't have the energy to think of another word. But when I'm trying to do something new, maybe just look left or right and bounce it off somebody. Maybe they'll have a very different viewpoint that'll be helpful. And then as you're going through the process, have a group that can give you feedback. I mean, even in your personal life, right? Even when you're starting out, I mean, we both kind of stepped out into new territory for ourselves work-wise. And it, one, it helped immensely that we had each other. And we had others who could say, hey, this
seems
looks
to be working, or this doesn't seem,
or this doesn't seem to be your kind of, your cup of tea.
Yeah.
Do you really want to continue that?
Yeah.
And then when something does go wrong, sit down with the relevant people and maybe just talk it out, or ask the questions of yourself, or make them ask the questions to say what didn't go right. Because I think none of this is, I mean, that old cliche, like none of this is failure, right? You have to just pick up something from it and move forward.
Yeah. And sometimes I think labeling it with such a big label really prevents you from doing that in so many ways.
Because if it's a failure, then you have to put it in a box and shut
it. And it's
got
history, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's one more way that I...
One more. Yeah. And why would I want to look at that box? Because it's failure. It didn't work, right? I have nothing to take away from it. So I think it's helpful to reframe a lot of this and create teams and systems to give us that feedback. No, I think fear itself is a tough emotion. Fear of failure is even tougher. But, and as a coach, yes, I do find myself often saying, be kinder to yourself. But these are some of the tools, you know, acknowledging that there is a fear of something, And that fear is failure in whatever shape or form it could come. Seeing what affirmative statements I can tell myself, what things in the past I can remind myself of where, hey, I have done that before, or I have tried something difficult and succeeded.
Yeah.
You know, I am okay with, fine, I didn't get that promotion. Even 4 years ago, it took 6 months longer, but you know, I survived, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't the end of the world. Or everything doesn't have to be perfect, which I see a lot nowadays, and because so many more people are changing careers, returning from breaks, putting themselves out into the world in a way that's very scary. Mm. And so there's a fear that I won't succeed. Right. And the opposite of that is not failure.
Yeah, that's a nice reminder. Much needed also.
Yeah, that's it, folks. Tell us what scares you the most. What are you afraid of? Maybe not doing it just the right way. And is there really that right way? What can you do to move forward? Catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Please do remember to share, subscribe, follow, and do leave us a nice rating or review. It really helps us move up the charts and reach more and more small talkers. Bye.